Good morning. It's Thursday, June 27th. I'm Gideon Resnick in for Shumita Basu. This is Apple News Today. Coming up on today's show, how tonight's presidential debate could shape the way Americans vet the candidates. AI is exhausting the power grid, and we're paying the price. And new research on a good kind of brainwashing. But first, let's take a quick look at some other stories that are in the news. The Supreme Court ruled that abortions in medical emergencies in Idaho can be temporarily allowed. The decision does not address the merits of the case, instead sending it back to the lower courts. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson wrote in her dissent that this is, quote, not a victory for pregnant patients in Idaho. It is delay. The Biden administration had argued that Idaho's law conflicts with a federal law requiring hospitals to perform abortions if the health of a pregnant patient is at stake. The court's decision today matches a draft copy that had been inadvertently posted online yesterday. Meanwhile, in a 5-4 decision, conservative justices blocked enforcement of the EPA's plan to limit downwind pollution from power plants, something known as the Good Neighbor Rule. The court also struck down a multi-billion dollar settlement with Purdue Pharma that would have shielded members of the Sackler family from civil claims while channeling billions of dollars in aid to address the nation's opioid crisis. And in a case about the power of regulatory agencies, the court dealt a win for conservatives who have been long seeking to limit the power of the so-called administrative state. In international news, in Bolivia, a general is under arrest, accused of leading a coup. Yesterday, military units stormed the presidential palace. At one point, an armored vehicle rammed the doors, with soldiers rushing in. Later, troops withdrew and police took control of the area. The government has appointed a new military commander. And in sports, the Olympic roster for the U.S. women's soccer team is now set. The group that's playing in Paris is a mix of young players and experienced hands, but one veteran was notably not on the list, Alex Morgan. She's one of the U.S. team's greatest scorers. But new coach Emma Hayes opted for a squad that didn't include Morgan, who's now 34 years old. Morgan says she's disappointed to not get another Olympics, but she looks forward to cheering on the team. Tonight is the first of two presidential debates. It's much earlier this year, and there are some format differences. But once again, the nation will see President Biden and former President Trump behind the podiums. I called up New Yorker staff writer and the author of a book on Biden, Evan Osnos, to talk about the potential impact of the changes we'll see tonight.
It's huge, actually. I mean, the format of a debate matters a great deal. There's no live studio audience, which is very unusual. First time we've had that in generations. And then also, microphones will be silenced when somebody is not asked a question. That's intended to try to cut down on interruptions and to try to get them to give more substantive answers. In 2020, as people will remember, the first Biden-Trump debate was a mess. In fact, Trump interrupted more than 100 times over the course of that session, and it made it really hard for people either to get a sense of what the two candidates thought, but it also just left a bad taste in people's mouths. There was polling that was done that showed that people don't like it. People want to hear people on that stage make a compelling and responsible and mature case for what it means to be president.
Right. And you wrote that this one is a debate of specifically great consequence. Can you explain why you think that?
For one thing, it's happening very early in the election season. This is even before the candidates have been formally nominated by their parties. In theory, that means that if there was a catastrophic performance by one or the other, that the Democrats or the Republicans could replace their candidate. But more likely, we're going to get, as an electorate, this very clear and stark and almost unique opportunity to see these two candidates side by side assess the, let's be frank, the age, the acuity, the sharpness, the responsibility, the calmness, the poise, the maturity, all the things that go into what we expect of a president. And this probably will be the only opportunity to see it like that.
Yeah. And yet you have this interesting dynamic where the American public also knows these two men. And in a lot of polling seems to not like them all that much, at least as presidential options. So given that, how can we understand the impacts of debates like this?
Typically, historically, it's about 5% of the people who watch a debate for whom the event actually changes their position, either changes who they support or it motivates them to vote at all. In some ways, that last bit is the most important thing. And that could be decisive. In 2020, we had 7 states that were decided by less than 3% of the popular vote. And in this case, if there are, in fact, as many as 5% of voters who are affected by what happens on that stage, that could turn the tide to one candidate or the other. You know, in a lot of ways, in a year where I think a lot of people are tuning out politics, they don't want to watch, they don't want to read about it, it gives the debate added importance because it's the one moment that could have an impact on the outcome.
Mm. And for the incumbent, for President Biden, for just a second here, you've spent time with him. You detailed earlier this year how he and his campaign arm feel a level of confidence that, in a sense, a lot of the American public doesn't exactly or doesn't seem to. Do they still feel that way about this election? And what could happen in the debate that could help translate confidence to voters?
One of the things that was really striking, Gideon, about spending some time with him earlier this year was that, as he said to me, if you were presented with a moment when you thought that you could stop somebody from fundamentally altering or damaging this country, what would you do? And in his mind, the answer to that was run again. Look, a lot of people, a lot of Democrats are very worried. They look at polls that show that at best, this race is tied. But within the Biden world, among his closest advisors, his family, the people who really know him best, there is a level of confidence that I think might surprise people in the outside. And that comes from the fact that their view is that Donald Trump has in some ways been off the stage of American life. You know, he posts mostly on his own homebrew social media site. He has been in a courtroom a lot. And so people in some ways have forgotten what it's like to see him every day and to feel him worming his way into our lives and our minds. And their view is that as we get closer to the election, people will be reminded of that and will turn away from that. But it is a big, big bet.
Mm. Any other takeaways or things that you're going to watch in this debate?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how Trump talks about some of these questions, like would he in fact go ahead and pardon people who used violence on January 6th, something he's talked about doing? Will he double down on gutting the Justice Department? And he's made promises to his base that he's going to do these things. Now the question is, when he's facing a national audience, does he say it again?
Yeah, a big 90 minutes ahead for these two candidates and frankly, the country and the campaign. Evan Osnos, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Great to be with you.
Now to reporting from the Washington Post about the artificial intelligence revolution and its concerning implications for our power grid.
We first started to notice many months back when we were looking at all of these regions around the country, we're running short of power.
That's reporter Evan Halper. He told us about how AI models and chatbots require significantly more energy for simple tasks. A search on ChatGPT, for example, requires 10 times the amount of power as a standard Google search.
And what we're seeing is the data centers that once, you know, would have been sort of the size of use the amount of power maybe would use for a few thousand homes. Now, some of them are using the amount of power like a large nuclear reactor would put out that would actually power 500,000 or a million homes. And that's really new.
In other words, some data centers require as much power as a small city. And by some estimates, power demand is expected to grow by 40% here in the United States over the next 2 decades. Halper says it puts some of the most prominent tech giants, like Microsoft, Google, Amazon, and Meta, at odds with the environmental pledges that they've made. It's also worth acknowledging that Apple also recently announced its own plans around AI, though the company is not specifically named in this piece.
Big tech companies, they were sort of the drivers of the clean energy transition. They had made all these commitments that they would be net zero, that they wouldn't be creating any emissions after 2030.
Tech companies argue advancing AI now could lead to breakthroughs that may curb energy consumption down the road. And they claim they buy enough clean energy to offset the impact of these power-guzzling data centers.
But what's happening is that the utilities are then saying, you know, we're out of energy for everyone else after these tech firms have bought up all of this energy. And so even though the tech firms can say, well, we're zero emissions and we've done all this clean, if they haven't left clean energy left for anybody else to use, the utilities then come behind them and backfill the need with gas plants. In some cases, they're delaying retirements of coal plants.
And it's driving up energy rates for consumers. Meanwhile, the White House has a goal for the power grid to be emissions-free by 2035.
I've been in discussions with really high-level people in the federal government and utility executives and tech company executives, and it just seems like they're kind of trying to figure this out as we go along. The AI companies are developing their technology much faster than our infrastructure can keep up and government can keep up. Everyone I talk to in the power sector just says there's no way that goal is going to be met. It was looking tenuous before, but now with all these AI needs, I speak to very few people who feel like we're going to get there.
Right this very moment, as you're listening to this show, you have roughly 170 billion cells in your brain that are hard at work, and they produce waste that needs to be cleared out. But for a long time, scientists didn't totally understand how our brains did this. Now, new research is offering the best evidence to date about how brains clear out waste, and it could offer some crucial clues about diseases like Alzheimer's. One of the researchers, Jonathan Kipnis on NPR, says our bodies work kind of like the plumbing in our homes.
You have the water pipes and the sewage pipes. And so water comes in clean, and then you wash your hands, and then the dirty water goes out.
But the plumbing in our brain has been harder to explain. And this new research builds on previous knowledge. Researchers found that while we're sleeping, electrical waves seem to help pump fluid around our brain cells, flushing out waste. Some of what our brains push out is linked to Alzheimer's disease. So a breakdown in the brain's cleanup system might be a reason it develops. This new research could help scientists better understand Alzheimer's, maybe even someday leading to a way to prevent it. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening to the News app right now, we have a narrated article that's coming up next. Ahead of that first debate, New York Magazine takes a look at the relationship between President Biden and former President Obama, and how Obama's role in Biden's campaign has changed between 2020 and today. If you're listening to the podcast app, you can follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story, and I'll be back with the news tomorrow.